An 8-year journey exploring the surfing culture in Southern California comes full circle for a longtime surfer and now author. We talked to David Matuszak, who tells us he is surfing his way up the West Coast. He just completed a book on the history of the ocean sport entitled San Onofre, Memories of a Legendary Surfing Beach.
For the last 40 years, I've been a surfer regularly at a very famous surf beach named San Onofre. And one of my old surfing friends who we lost last year, his name was Wally Dusler. We lost him last year just 6 weeks shy of his 100th birthday. He began surfing at San Onofre in 1937. And he was telling me for a number of years all the fun stories of the surfers in the early California surfers, and I said, Wally, we should document some of this. And I asked him if he was interested in doing some oral digital histories, and we put together a little 50 to 100 page pamphlet that would be Wally's memories of surfing. Well, Wally told his friends what we were doing, and they were all his contemporaries. They were all in their 90s. This was 8 years ago. And one by one, they invited oral digital histories on them. They opened up their personal photo albums, family photo albums. So I scanned hundreds of photographs of the earliest days of California surfing. So what I did was I took all those oral histories and all those photographs, and I tried to tie them all together and put them into historical and cultural context. And then the project just became a runaway train. For 8 years, I worked on it full time. And that's where the Hawaiian history came in, because I wanted to really document the prevalence of not just Hawaiian surfing, but the prevalence of the Hawaiian culture influence on California surfing, and particularly at San Onofre. As it turns out, the first surfers at San Onofre arrived in the early 1930s, and one of them was a legendary surfer. His name was Lauren Whitey Harrison. And he and another famous surfer named Pete Peterson and some others used to stow away on a steamer ship that was in port at Long Beach, California, headed for Hawaii. So they would regularly go to Hawaii and bring back Hawaiian surfing culture. And so much of the Hawaiian influence at San Onofre started there, and then it kind of snowballed from there. In the early 1990s, a native Hawaiian named Kalani Akui was looking to set up a Hawaiian surfing club in Southern California, and they wanted to get together a lot of the native Hawaiians who had moved to Southern California and get together and have a place to share culture and promote Hawaiian culture and to be able to surf. And they found a wave, one of the many breaks at San Onofre, that they feel is the closest wave to the Waikiki wave in Hawaii. So they set up shop at San Onofre Surf Beach. It was an outdoor clubhouse, and they began meeting, every other month down there. And they surfed more regularly than that, but they had formal meetings. I was invited to join about 8 years ago when I met Kalani and I interviewed him for the book. And that's when I ran into legendary big wave surfer Paul Strau from Hawaii. And he's the innovator, the one who began the cheater five pose on a surfboard, where you hang five toes over the curl them over the front of the board. And it's kind of a cheater five as opposed to a full hang 10 maneuver. And so Paul Strau and Kalani, who have become dear friends in the past 8 years, were my sponsors to become a member of the Hawaiian Surfing Club. About half of the members are native Hawaiians, and the rest are California natives like myself. So the club itself actually promotes Hawaiian culture. They're in Southern California. In May, on Memorial Day weekend, we host a big Polynesian festival over in nearby San Clemente. We bring in Hawaiian Polynesian dancers and music and so forth. And as much as anything else, the intent is to spread the aloha of Hawaii in Southern California, and particularly at San Onofre. But my surfing book really chronicles every aspect of surfing history, including a large part of the Hawaiian history. It started here in California with the Hawaiian princes in 1885, when they were surfing the Lorenzo River mouth here. And they shaped their own board made of redwood. And when they went back to Hawaii, they brought back redwood slabs and redwood board. And they actually began the tradition of redwood surfboards in Hawaii. Prior to that, they'd been using the native woods. There were three native woods that were very prominent, depending on your class and society in old Hawaii. And a fellow there, actually he's one of the members of our Hawaiian Surf Club, although he lives in Hawaii, is the most famous, I think, of all of the Hawaiian board shapers. His name is Tommy Stone.
Yeah, Tom Pohaku Stone, yes.
Yes, and he's a great guy. He came over a couple of years ago. He came over, I was invited to speak at San Diego State University at the second annual International Surfing Conference, where they brought in professors from all over the world to study and speak on surfing culture and surfing science and so forth. And Tommy came over from Hawaii, and members of our Hawaiian Surf Club joined with him and put on shaping demonstrations of Hawaiian ancient boards with the redwood slabs that he normally does. And then not too long ago, it was just this past year, the Bishop Museum did an exhibit on the ancient boards of old Hawaii, and Tommy was over there with a pop-up canopy outside, and he was regularly doing surfboard shaping demonstrations at that event as well. He's one of the 200 contributors that I have to the book. Paul Strau wrote one of the forewords to the book, and some of the great surfers, surfing legends, Corky Carroll, Mickey Munoz, Mike Doyle were all contributors to my book, so it's a kind of an A to Z look at surfing from the beginning of time, and Polynesia and Africa and Peru. Those are the three places that we think surfing originated, and it brings us all the way up to modern surfing today. I really touch bases on the surfing literature, the origins of surfing music. For example, when Whitey Harrison came back, he brought Hawaiian music back, and they would play Hawaiian music down at the beach there at San Onofre. This is back in the 30s and 40s. And then they began sort of a campfire sing-along tradition that was partly Hawaiian and partly the common genres of music of the times. I mean, they were playing big band swing music. They were playing old folk songs, the popular tunes of the time. And that sing-along tradition around the campfire at San Onofre evolved into something we call today the Bamboo Room music sessions. And we didn't do them this summer because of COVID, but a lot of the old-timers, any of them that are still around, mix in with some young musicians, and they gather around an area where there's a lot of bamboo to kind of break the wind a little bit. And they get together on Wednesday afternoons, and they play the old Hawaiian surf tunes. And one of the fellows plays an old steel slide guitar, and it's really a lot of fun. But the point is, it's not just a book about San Onofre. It's a book about the entire surfing culture.
That was David Matuszek, who's just compiled a book on the history of surfing from the perspective of San Onofre, a popular surf spot in Southern California. For links to find out more, check our website, hawaiipublicradio.org.